Okay, so God is good. He does good things. He loves us. That means he wills our good. But he allows us to go through difficult external circumstances. Mm. His priority is not to make our lives easy.
Yeah.
His priority is to help us grow. Mm. His willingness to let us go through testing and trials and all of that, that's actually good, even when it doesn't feel good.
Yeah.
So if that's true, that tells me that I probably need to redefine my understanding of good, because to me, good is what feels good.
Sure.
And I think that's true for most people.
Right.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Making History. My name is Brian.
And I'm Katie.
And we're the Hesses. And we're back.
Here we are.
Here we are.
Another episode.
This is episode 42.
That's crazy.
Yeah. That's almost 50.
Almost. So close.
Let's see. This week, well, you had a birthday.
I did. Big 3-3.
3-3.
Ooh. It was a good day. It was a fun day.
We should talk about how ridiculous it was trying to go out to dinner, though.
Oh, my goodness. What even? So my birthday was on a Thursday.
Right.
So we were like, we don't need a reservation. It's a Thursday night. There's not going to be anybody around. It was like kind of a rainy day also. Yeah. So like,
and
like usually.
Not only that, not only was it a Thursday, but we intentionally brought the kids to my parents' house early.
Early, yeah.
We were going to have like an earlier dinner.
Right.
So I think we ended up not getting there as early as we were hoping, but still we dropped the kids off by like 5:30.
Yeah.
We're thinking like maybe like a 5:45.
Right.
Maybe 6 o'clock dinner.
Yeah.
Who, like, what restaurant is going to turn us away on a Thursday?
Right. Like, everywhere is going to have.
We should be able to walk in openings. Pretty much anywhere. And
for
just,
sure.
Just for us to get a table.
Little did we know.
Nope.
The place that we wanted to go was totally booked for the night. Like, they had no reservations.
Not only
for the rest of the night.
And again, not only did they not have any open tables, but there was a bar.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, surely the bar is first come, first serve.
Yeah.
And they were like, not tonight.
Nope.
You'd think so.
It's just crazy. Not tonight. It's like, what's happening?
Yeah.
And then, so we were like, well, okay, that's all right. You know, there's lots of good places downtown Chattanooga. We'll go somewhere else.
Yep.
So I call one place. No tables until like 7:45. I was like, okay, call the next place. No tables until 7:30 or 7:45. I was like, what's happening? Why can't we go out to eat? It was crazy.
Was it like four places that
four
we tried,
places
I think,
total
that didn't work?
Yep.
And which was just like, we were just confused more than anything.
It's literally never happened before to us. And I think I feel like we've gone out on Fridays before on like weekends and we get a table somewhere.
So we ended up going to a restaurant that's just one of our favorites anyways. Yeah. And it's where we usually go.
Right.
We were thinking maybe we'll go somewhere else.
Yeah. Tried to change it up a little bit.
Yeah.
Nope. I guess we just need to stick with the old faithful.
And so we walked in and there weren't very many people there the whole night.
Yeah. It was like basically empty.
It was mostly empty the whole night.
Did something happen here? Like, is there something that we don't know about? Because this place is awesome.
It's always good.
Yeah. And the like atmosphere is great.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was weird.
It was weird.
It was a weird night. But we did it. We got yummy dinner.
And we had fun.
Got to celebrate. So it was good.
Yeah. And for your birthday, I got you. And I guess first I should say, I don't know if this is normal, you tell me, because I know what kind of gifts you like.
Yeah.
But I wonder if a lot of other women wouldn't appreciate this kind of gift.
It's possible. I honestly don't really know. I do think that I may be a little bit of an anomaly in this situation, but it like genuinely brings me joy to get these types of gifts.
So I got you like a carpet cleaner.
Yeah. The little green
carpet / like fabric cleaner.
Carpet,
you can clean couches and stuff.
I'm so excited. I can't wait to use it.
Yeah. And you loved it.
Yes. Yeah.
But
and I might be a weirdo in that way, but like, I mean, like you said, you know what I like,
yeah.
You know, the types of gifts that I like, cause like that's the type of thing that like I've wanted that for probably over a year now. And it's just a little more expensive than I want to spend, you know, like, or just a little bit more money than I want to spend on a cleaning gadget.
Right.
So I'm like, well, I can scrub the carpet. Yeah. It's fine.
Up until now, we've been fine without one.
Yeah.
But it'd be nice to have one.
Yes. Yeah. Now with like a little boy crawling around and he's messier than the girls already. And so with him and with the cat too, like she's a pretty clean cat too, but still just like litter paws, you know, like to be able to clean the couch.
A deep clean every once in a while.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm very excited. And I got my hair done too. So that was fun.
Looks great.
Yeah. Woo. Woo, woo, woo.
Woo, woo.
Good day.
So yeah, your birthday was fun. And not much else happened other than that. We did have a bit of a disaster like 10 minutes ago.
We did. The reality of trying to record a podcast with three young kids upstairs. We had everybody in bed. I was getting ready because I had not gotten myself ready to be on camera yet. And Izzy wanted a book. And so was she down? Did she come downstairs?
Well, somebody had recently given us like a box of books.
Yes.
And the one she was looking for, her and I both thought was in that box. Okay. Not realizing that you have emptied the books out of that box and put them on a shelf outside of Ollie's room.
Yeah.
So she came out looking for a book. And it was one of those things. It was like, I can tell just because I want this night to just progress.
Yep.
That it's going to be a lot smoother and easier if I just help you get the book you want.
Yep.
Put you back in your room. And then hopefully I don't see you again for the rest of the night.
Until tomorrow.
So I bring her downstairs and we don't know where the box is. Uh-huh. So we come into the room, find you.
That's right. Yeah.
And she's like, where's the box of books? And you're like, oh, I'd put the books on a shelf outside of Ollie's room.
Yep.
Who's asleep at this point.
Yes.
And so we send her up and we just remind her, remember, like, be quiet.
Yeah.
Just get the book that you're looking for and just get back in your bed. Mm-hmm. And normally that she would do exactly that.
Yeah.
Like normally, you know, it wouldn't be a problem.
Right. Yeah.
But she misunderstood the location of the book.
The shelf was outside of Ollie's room, but somewhere between hearing that the shelf was outside of the room and her journey upstairs, the shelf went into Ollie's room, apparently, in her mind. And so,
so she just gets walked upstairs right in.
And walks right into Ollie's room.
Of course, he wakes up immediately. He's screaming, what's going on?
Yep.
So we both go running up there.
Yep.
And in that moment, it was that combination of like, this is so annoying.
Yeah.
Like, I can't believe you thought we would send you into Ollie's room. We all know he's sleeping.
Why?
But at the same time, I knew that she actually thought we told her.
Yes.
The book is in Ollie's room.
Mm-hmm.
You can go get it. Just be quiet.
Yeah.
And so it was one of those hard moments because like we were so mad, so annoyed.
Yep.
But I also like tried to view the whole situation from her perspective.
Right. Yeah.
Like,
like
you said to go get the book.
Yeah.
And I thought it was in Ollie's room and I did exactly what you said. And now
she was literally like, I didn't make any noise when I walked in there because I was like, get out of here. What are you doing? And she said, I didn't make any noise. I was like, oh, you didn't, but you did because you opened his door and then the light's shining in his room and his door is loud and it's just, it was a whole thing.
It was a whole thing.
Here we are.
Here we are.
And then, you know, you got her calmed down because she was so upset.
She was upset because she knew she messed up.
Yeah.
She knew like, like
that wasn't supposed to go in Ollie's room. Yeah.
But yeah, she was good by the time I left her room. So. Yeah.
And then I went up to make sure that she knew I wasn't like mad at her going to sleep because that's not what I want. I don't want her going to sleep thinking mom's mad at me.
Yeah, right.
But we're here. We made it.
We're doing it.
Everybody's back in bed, mostly asleep, and we're good to go.
Good to go. All right. We are going to continue the conversation from last episode, which going into these, I didn't realize these were all going to become like two-parters.
Sure.
But again, it was just that thing where we do an episode. So last week was love is joyful, not happy. And this week I got listening to some podcasts, not even looking for more like content on this topic. I was actually like looking for something else and just kind of stumbled upon, it's actually a Bible Project podcast. So if you're listening, you don't know who the Bible Project guys are, you need to know.
Highly recommend.
if Tim Mackey's name is on it, you want to be a part of it.
Yeah.
He's unbelievable.
He really is.
So good.
He's so smart.
Yes. Not only is he like such a good communicator and teacher, but he's highly educated.
Yeah.
So smart.
So smart.
So there was, in the episode, the podcast episode I listened to was just what they call a Q&R, which most people do Q&A, which I love that they call it Q&R, question and response. And they had just come out of a series on the Lord's Prayer, actually. And they had some people submitting questions. And I just listened to that because I thought, oh, some of those questions sound interesting.
Yeah.
And they ended up talking a lot about, I guess I'll just go ahead and pose the question that was asked on their podcast.
Okay.
And there were a couple of people that submitted similar questions, but they were along the lines of, they're wanting to know about like the Lord testing us. Because in the Lord's Prayer, Jesus says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Yeah.
And I realized that depending on what Bible translation you're reading may determine what words appear there.
Mm-hmm.
So I think most translation I'm aware of are worded that way, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And in James chapter 1, you know, he opens it up basically right there in verse 2, comes right out of the gate saying, count it all joy, like as you go through various testing and, and trials. And he goes through that. And then again, he comes, there's a few more paragraphs, and then he comes, kind of circles back to that. And he says, he talks about God, how God cannot be tempted by evil, and he will not or cannot tempt us with evil.
Yeah.
But if you read it in the Greek, all of those, whether in the Lord's Prayer in Matthew or whether in James, I think pretty much all of them come from the same Greek word, which is pirazo.
Okay.
And the question was, like, help me make sense of this, because it seems like Jesus is saying for us to ask the Father through prayer to not lead us into temptation. Not lead us into pirazzo.
Yeah.
But then James opens up saying, hey, count it all joy when you encounter pirazzo.
Yeah. The testing. Which seems like it's totally conflicting.
Right. But then he even goes on to say that God cannot lead you into pirazzo.
So then it's like, wait.
So in English, depending on the translation, you may not realize. Because you may, like, I think I have always just separated, like, testing and temptation.
Yeah.
I've separated those in my mind as two different things.
Right, yeah.
But it's often being translated from the same Greek word, pirazo. Okay. And there are, there's another Greek word that I'm not going to remember or even try to pronounce right now that shows up in there, too. And it's nearly synonymous, anyways, with pirazo.
Okay.
Anyways, I just found it so fascinating hearing Tim Mackey. I think I listened to it, and it was like within that episode, it was like a 20-25 minute segment where he's answering this question. And I think I listened to it like four times just to like understand.
Wait, what?
Now, granted, I was always listening to it at the gym.
Sure.
And so like I'm doing other things.
Get distracted. Yeah.
Get distracted. I realized like, oh, I zoned out for 5 minutes. I need to go back. And so like that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But anyways, I think I listened to it four times.
Just really get it in there.
And I even went, because in the podcast app, you can always get the transcript. And so I even like read through most of it too.
Okay.
I was like, I just need to like read.
I just need to like really zone in on this.
Yeah. Anyways, the topic for this episode is going to be on, we're going to stay on the topic of joy, but we're going to lead kind of somewhere else. And I don't want to get too far ahead of myself. But we're going to be on that topic. It may not feel like it right away, but we'll get there.
Mm-hmm.
So in the Old Testament, in Hebrew, we see, of course, different words for like testing. There's the Hebrew word nasa, mm-hmm. which is pretty common. You see it early in like Genesis. I think the first time it shows up is when the Lord asks Abraham, he tests Abraham by asking him to sacrifice Isaac.
Yeah.
So that's nasa. And it's and there's a few different ways to look at it, because it also shows up. I'll give three examples. So there's that one. It shows up with David when Saul offers for David to wear his armor before going to fight Goliath. And David rejects it, saying it hasn't been tested.
Okay.
It's the same word, nasa.
Yeah.
And then again with Job, the Lord allows Job to be tested. Mm-hmm. So sometimes it seems like the Lord allows us to be tested in ways that he already like knows the outcome. And this is hard to say, because he always knows the outcome.
Right.
In the sense that he's omniscient.
Yeah.
He always knows the outcome. He always knows like the content of our heart.
Yeah.
He knows the quality of our faith and the quality of our character.
Right.
So here he's already aware of that. But there is a sense where testing happens in a way to like allow that stuff to be revealed, to be made known, right?
Yeah, so, it's almost like for us to find out about our character. Like he's like, I see this in you. Now you need to see it.
Right. And I think a good example for that for us is like times that the Lord has asked us to give very generously.
Yeah.
And like that was like, those have been moments of testing to where like intellectually I feel like, yeah, I trust the Lord.
Yeah.
But then he says, all right, we'll go ahead and do this. Yeah. And then it's like, okay, so now my trust and my faith is actually being tested
here,
and it's being revealed.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's not just for the Lord necessarily, but it's also for us to know and let that stuff like come to the surface.
Right.
And see like what we're made of.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Like this is nice that like, this is a nice sentiment that you have.
Yes.
But like, is it actually something that like you can really live out?
Yes.
With trust and with, you know, faith in me.
Yeah. Oh, you think you trust me, or, oh, you like, you think you're a joyful person.
Yeah.
Well, like, let's see, let's put that to the test and we'll find out what comes to the surface.
Right.
You know? So, moving into those words kind of get translated to, the Greek words we were talking about as we move into the New Testament. So we see this pirazo show up.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting in James. I've got it right here. I'm going to read this. This is James 1, verses 2 through 4. He said, "Count it all a joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." And of course, then he goes on later in the chapter to talk about how God is not pirazo.
Mm.
He's not tempted by evil.
Yeah.
And that he won't tempt you with evil. Now, the thing about this word that I've come to learn recently is that, like, I mean, obviously, like, ancient languages are very complex.
Sure.
Especially for people who think the way we think.
Yeah.
Because it's just so different. But this word in particular is complex and it's pretty nuanced. And you really have to take into consideration like the immediate context of what's being said.
Mm.
So basically what, you know, Tim Mackey, what those guys were talking about is there's kind of two ways to look at this one word, pirazo. Mm. That there's the testing in the form of like difficult external circumstances. And that's what God will allow. He will allow us to go through hard things because it, like everything we just said, it allows the content of our heart and the reality of like our faith and our trust and our joy and all of that. It allows everything that's in us to be brought to the surface.
Yeah.
And that's ultimately the path that leads to maturity.
Sure.
You go through hard things. Mm-hmm. You learn to trust God. You learn to find joy in the hard things.
Yeah.
You realize that, yes, life is hard, but God, you're so good.
Mm-hmm.
And all of that just, you know, it just kind of has this effect where it builds us up over time. It makes us tough and it makes us thankful and it makes us joyful. And it gives us hope and all of those good things. But then there is the pirazo that is more of, it's not necessarily being subject to difficult circumstances as much as it is a provocation to sin. by like tempting us by our desires, okay, like our like fleshly, like yeah, ungodly desires. Mm. And that is the thing that that James is saying, like the Father, that right, doesn't come
he
from
no
him.
He has no part in. Ever. Yeah. Yeah.
Because there really is only goodness in him. Mm-hmm. There's only goodness. There's only love. And because he's good, he does good things.
Yeah.
Psalm 119:68. Mm-hmm. You're good and what you do is good.
Yeah.
So here is where like my trail of thoughts have led to, mm-hmm, just in thinking about this. And we'll bring this around to like parenting, and we'll bring this around to like raising kids,
yeah,
who are joyful, not just happy. Mm. And often this is kind of like this is how I think, where I think like, well, if this, then this, well, if that, then this, if
sure,
if that, then
yeah,
this. So, okay, God is good and God is love. Mm-hmm. He does good things. And we know that, as we've mentioned in previous episodes, that a good definition of love is to will good. Mm-hmm. So to love somebody means to will their good, yeah, for their sake.
Right.
Okay, so God is good. He does good things. He loves us. That means he wills our good. But he allows us to go through pirazzo. He mm-hmm allows us to go through difficult external circumstances. Mm-hmm. His priority is not to make our lives easy.
Yeah.
His priority is to help us grow. Mm. And our growth and our maturity requires testing, it requires trials. And so he doesn't have a problem with that. So if he's good and he does good things and he does that, then that must mean that his willingness to let us go through testing and trials and all mm-hmm of that, that's actually good, even when it doesn't feel good.
Yeah.
So if that's true, that tells me that I probably need to redefine my understanding of good, because to me, good is what feels good.
Sure.
And I think that's true for most people.
Right. Yeah. Like, this is making me, you know, I'm comfortable. I'm happy.
Yes.
I'm feeling good right now. So this, yeah.
Yes.
This is good.
Yes. And so, okay, well, let's keep following that trail of thought that, okay, he's good, but he lets us go through hard things. So that must be good, but it doesn't feel good. So I think he and I probably often have a different definition of what good is.
Yeah.
So if I need to redefine what good is, I need to pay closer attention to what he does, mm, because what he does is good.
Yeah.
Just because something doesn't feel good doesn't mean that it's not good. Mm. So what does that mean for us as parents? Because if you're just listening for maybe the first time, or you've not heard us talk about this, our vision for parenting is, if I could like sum it up in its most simplistic form, it's we want to know God as a father,
yeah,
as best we can. Mm-hmm. And we want to know his ways. We want to know his method for dealing with our mistakes. Mm-hmm. We want to know his methods for disciplining us, for helping us grow up and become more mature. Mm-hmm. And if we can understand his methods, then we can start to ask the question, well, what does that mean for us towards our kids?
Yeah.
And we talked about this a little bit last week, but if he's good and he allows us to go through hard things and he considers it good, then if we're going to love our kids the way he loves us, mm-hmm, to love our kids means to will that which is good for them for their sake.
Yeah.
And that means that our job is not to make them happy. Our job is actually not to make their lives easy. Mm. Our job is not to make them as comfortable as possible,
yeah,
for everything to be as convenient as possible. It's actually good that we allow our kids to experience hard things.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I've just been thinking a bunch about that.
Yeah.
Because I think there is a temptation as parents to want to make our kids happy. Mm-hmm. Because, and we've said this before, but happy is not bad.
Right, yeah.
We're not trying to...
it's not like a bad thing that we want our kids to be happy.
Right.
Like, that is not an evil desire.
No.
Don't hear us saying like, no, we want to make our kids miserable and
the
sad
goal,
and work in the trenches all the time.
You know? Yes. But the goal isn't, maybe I think this is a good way to put it, the goal isn't to make them happy. The goal is also not to make them unhappy. Mm-hmm. The goal is to teach them how to be joyful. Mm. And that only comes through going through hard things.
Yeah.
And coming out the other side.
Yeah.
Being stronger, being smarter, mm-hmm. having more faith, having more trust.
Yes.
Knowing how to, and joy is a lot like gratitude in a sense that, like, both are a product of the will in a sense.
Mm.
That joy, unlike happiness, like happiness, we talked about this last week, happiness is something that happens to you.
Mm-hmm.
It's circumstantial.
Yeah.
But joy isn't just something that happens to you. It's actually something that you learn that you are able to choose
yeah.
in any circumstance.
Right. Yeah. You can say, you can posture yourself for joy,
mm-hmm.
no matter what's going on in your life at that time. You can still wake up and decide, I'm going to continue to live in the joy mm-hmm. that's been given to me
yeah.
from my father.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Like in the Bible, we're commanded to, like there are verses like rejoice in the Lord mm-hmm. always.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I say rejoice.
Yeah.
You know the song.
Yeah. Yep. Make it well.
Isn't that a good
yeah. yeah. <It's on. laughs> yep.
But rejoice in the Lord always. That to me is a lot like Paul saying, give thanks in all circumstances.
Mm.
So thankfulness, like gratitude, isn't something that just happens to you.
Right.
It's actually something that it's our job to choose that.
Yeah.
It's a mindset and it's a perspective.
Right.
And I think the same thing is true of joy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we don't want happy kids, but we don't want unhappy kids.
Mm-hmm.
We want joyful kids.
Yes. Yep.
And you can be joyful and happy. Mm-hmm. You can also be joyful and unhappy.
Yeah. Yep.
And I think that's one of the like really profound things about joy
mm-hmm.
is that it's something that can be chosen and experienced.
Yeah.
In any season.
Yeah.
Any absolutely. Circumstance.
Yeah. And in those times, I think of allowing our kids to experience hard things. I don't think that is always going to look like, well, like, sorry you're going through that. Mm-hmm. Let me know when you make it out on the other side, you know, like I'll be over here doing my thing. Good luck being stuck. You know, mm-hmm. it looks like being with them
yeah.
through those hard times too,
yeah.
you know, and not giving them all the answers of how to get mm-hmm. out. Because I think especially, you know, like when younger kids are having a hard time,
yeah.
it's easy to be like, just do this and you'll be fine. You know, mm-hmm. like this is really easy, you know, like just
yeah.
here's the answer. And those are the times where it's like, actually just like sit with them and just be quiet and watch their little brains work.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I've said this before in one of the more recent episodes that like that feeling of accomplishment that they get from
for sure.
figuring out problems on their own is so rewarding
mm-hmm.
for them. And it's so fun to watch as a parent too. Cause it's like, hey, see, like I told you could do it. Like I knew it. I yeah. believed in you. And then you have this moment of like being so excited that they were able to build that tower mm-hmm. or figure out how to stack that block or able to figure out this like hard relationship with a friend or hard situation that they had with their friend. And it's like, it's just so, like you said, it builds trust. It builds faith. It builds that joy inside them because they are so proud of themselves.
Yeah.
And then they see that you're proud of them too. And so they're even more proud of themselves. And they're like, I can do hard things, you know, and then they're like ready to tackle anything that comes their way. But yeah, I think it's just super important to note that like as parents, it's really, you know, that's vital that we are with them in those times too. You know, sometimes they're going to have to do the hard things on their own,
mm-hmm.
you know, for sure.
Yeah.
But I think especially in those formative years and when they're living under your roof still, let them know that you're there. You don't have to be sitting right next to them, but just say like, hey, I'm here if you need me.
Yeah.
You know, I see that you're going through a hard time. Don't just ignore them
mm-hmm.
because I mean, that's what the Father does for us too. He's constantly there.
Yeah.
Ready for us if we, you know, need him, if we want to invite him into the situation, he's ready. Mm-hmm. And so I think that, you know, if we're truly mirroring what he does for us, we have to be available.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And you talking about that reminded me yesterday, Nora she was playing with Legos on her own, but then she had like an idea. She had a vision. She wanted to build a zip line.
Yeah.
And I was working on stuff. And so I was like, go do your school, mm-hmm. finish your school, come back to me and I will help you build a zip line. And of course, like what we made was actually super cool.
It was.
And
yeah.
we totally built it.
Mm-hmm.
But because it was a little complicated, I ended up doing most of the work.
Okay.
But, and this is something I've learned too, just, well, one, like about Jesus, the Bible says that Jesus is the author and perfecter of our faith.
Mm-hmm.
So he's the one that actually gives us faith. But what's funny about that is throughout the Gospels, you see him like celebrating the faith of other people that they have.
Oh, so even like
the centurion, Jesus is like, I haven't found faith like this in all of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like so quick to celebrate this man's faith that he is the author and perfecter of.
Yeah.
Right. And so, so sometimes I think about that and I think, well, what does that translate for our kids?
Mm-hmm.
And so with building Legos, like that was the perfect example to where like I built most of it.
Sure.
But the whole time I was celebrating her for like having the idea. Mm. And I kept assuring her and telling her that like we wouldn't have even built this if you didn't have the idea, you know, and kind of like I did the work, but I'm going to celebrate you in this because like you played, you know, an important role.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah, it was fun. Yeah. And the zipline was super cool.
It was really cool. I was like, okay, this is way more legit than I like ever thought it would be.
I know. Whenever Nora wants to build Legos, I'm like, oh, twist my arm.
Yeah.
I hate that.
I guess I need to take a break from work.
I know. Yeah.
Dang it.
Love that.
And it's always you, I do have to say.
I can't remember if we talked about that last week or not.
I don't think so. maybe we did. I don't know. But yeah. It wasn't this time, but there was a time before she got new sets.
That's right.
And she wanted help. And I was like, I was literally sitting right next to her. And I was like, I can help you. And she was
and
like,
I was working in the bedroom. I was on the computer. I was working on stuff.
And I think I was working on something, but sitting next to her. And I was like, oh, I'd be happy to help you. And she was like, I think I need Dad. I was like, well, like I can build Legos too. Like I can follow the book, like I'm not dumb. She was like, I know, I really just think I need Dad. Yeah. I was like, all right, fine.
That is so funny.
Yeah, you're the Lego man.
But I think that just makes up for all the other times that the kids will bypass me for any basic task to demand that you're the one to open their juice box or to help them open up their snack.
That is such a funny thing. I wonder, I would just love to know what's going on like in their brains. Because that's like a universal thing, I feel like.
Yeah, it's
that
not just
typically
our kids.
Like they will literally go past the dad to go find the mom for a snack. Or
you could be in the shower and I could be sitting on the couch doing nothing.
Yep.
But if there's like, there are just certain things that they get in their heads, like, only mom can do this.
Mom, yep.
Or like only dad can do the Legos.
Yep.
And like only mom can open my snack, right?
It's, you know, so funny.
It is so funny that they do that.
Oh, man. But anyways.
Anyways, let's wrap this up. So I think to close this out, the goal isn't to make our kids' lives as easy as possible, but there's a balance there because I think in allowing our kids' lives to be like hard, I think we need to really think through and be intentional about finding like ways to make their lives age appropriately hard.
Yeah. Yeah. Find little challenges that, you know, like tasks around the house even that like maybe they've never done before and allow them to work it out.
And even if it's not finding things, like kids always have problems.
That is true.
All day, every day.
Yeah.
They always have things that they're struggling to do that they can't do right, that they can't figure out.
Or they want. Yeah.
And so a lot of that is just like not solving their problems for them.
Yeah.
Letting them solve their problems. Mm-hmm. And like you said before, being available to help.
Sure. Yeah.
Let them know that I'm here to help, but I believe in you, that you are capable of, you know, coming up with a solution to this problem.
Yeah.
And sometimes with Nora, I'll even, I can't think of a specific example off the top of my head, but sometimes she'll have a problem and I'll be like, all right, well, I want you to before I tell you, I want you to tell me like two possible ways that we could solve this.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see if those work. And if not, like, I'll still help you.
Right.
But like, I need you to start thinking about, you know, some solutions.
Because
kids are great at having problems.
Yeah.
But
they need practice typically, at finding solutions.
Yes. They really, like, they need to be like their hands held walking through the process of learning how to solve problems.
Yeah.
Because it's just not in them.
Right. I mean, it's just instant. That reaction is like, hey, do this for me.
Yes.
Parent, you know, and that's not bad. I think it's probably, I mean, before they were capable of solving those problems, all of their problems were solved for them. And so they're just continuing that on. So it's up to us as parents to give them those opportunities and to take a step back and to say, hey, actually, you can figure this one out on your own.
Yep.
It reminded me of a story, a thing with Nora that happened a couple of weeks ago while I was cleaning. So I clean a house on Wednesdays and the kids come with me and Nora and Izzy were outside playing one day. And Nora was trying, there's a swing out in their backyard. And so she was trying to get it, but it was just a little bit too high for her. And I watched her the whole time. Like this, it was this whole long drawn out process that I was like, this is literally killing me inside because I know exactly what you should do. But your brain is like working and you are trying all these different things. So she like brought over, it was like a little stick at one point to stand on.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like,
really?
Literally like a stick, like a small stick, not a branch, a stick. And so she like stood on that at first. And then she went and got like a pile of sticks. So she was getting closer.
Yeah.
And then she was like, I saw her like looking around the yard and she was like trying to find something. And then she like took off running and I was like, oh, what did she find? And she came back with this big log.
Nice.
So she had found a log and she put it as like a step and then she was able to like reach the swing and she like came running up. She was like, Mom, did you see me? Like, did you see what I did? And she was like, and I did, but she had no idea I was watching her that whole time. But I watched the entire process and was like, I'm going to see how this pans out. And she was so excited that she figured it out. Like I could tell she was frustrated through the process and like, you know, there was definitely a part of me that just wanted to run out there and be like, hey, like, it's okay. Yeah, like, just do this, you know, right? Don't stand on a stick that literally gives you nothing. It's just sinking into the ground.
Yeah.
But that, you know, the ending of that story was just so much better with me not interfering into her problem solving process because she was able to see, okay, this is not working. What do I need? Okay, I need more height, you know, like, I could like, I feel like I could see little speech bubbles coming out of her head in the process. And it was, she did a great job. She figured it out.
Yeah. Yeah. So let your kids solve problems, be available to help, but don't solve their problems for them.
Yep.
Because they won't know what to do when they're older.
Right.
All right. That's good.
Sounds good.
Okay.
All right.
For everybody listening, we have a couple favors to ask as always. And this really is important. This is so helpful. If you're listening on any podcast platform, if you have found any value in our content, if you could do us a favor and leave us a good review, that's a really small thing you can do that helps us in a really big way. Also, if you're watching this on YouTube, if you could like this video and subscribe, that is also a very small thing that you can do that helps us in a really big way. But I think that's going to be it.
Alrighty.
Okay. Well, once again, my name is Brian.
And I'm Katie.
And we're making history. We'll see you next time.